Hello, girls, gays, and lads. It's your girl, Hannah E. I'm back on the pod. It feels so good to be back on actually my microphone. I'm actually recording on my mic on a phenomenal Tuesday night, 10 o'clock. I figured I would kind of record this just because I actually think I have to record 3 podcast episodes this week, which is exciting. So I figured I'd do this one, which if you saw the title, we're diving into grief and boundaries in 2021. I felt like this was beautiful because it was important and also beneficial due to the fact that I watched the movie Soul. So we're actually gonna talk about that within this episode. It's gonna be a pretty like relaxed episode. I'm gonna talk about my current events, things that are happening in my life, the movie Soul, and then we'll kind of get into grief and setting boundaries for yourself in 2020 and how I've done it myself. So yeah, first off, let's get into my life and what has been happening in my life this whole entire week. So to give you guys context, if you are listening and you know me, obviously you probably follow my social media, but if you don't, I changed all my socials to now being Hannah from Atlanta or Hannah from the ATL or yours truly Hannah E. Literally on all platforms, you can follow me literally on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook page, literally Twitch, like everything's pretty much Hannah from Atlanta or Hannah ATL. So I have been this week since Sunday getting very much involved with the John Ossoff and Reverend Warnock campaigns. So I've been going to a lot of events. Today was kind of like the first day where I was able to kind of like have a me day. I spent the day kind of trying to figure out my apartment situation, took care of some like financial stuff, business stuff, and also kind of had like a self-care day, which was really nice because I spent yesterday pretty much helping the campaign. I went to a drive-in concert for Reverend Warnock and John Ossoff, which was incredible. It was literally life-changing. It literally, like, if you ever have the opportunity, not even to just get involved with the campaign, to volunteer or go to the event, I would encourage you to definitely go, especially if it's a candidate that you're like super passionate about. Because when Warnock spoke, I genuinely just like, I was like this, I also kind of felt like low-key he was looking at me, but I was also wearing my yellow jacket that I always, my staple yellow jacket that I always wear. So he really could have been, I was like the sunshine in the little crowd, but his story just like was so identical-ish to mine. But I'm also like 22, but I mean, like I said, like you guys all are probably aware, I made this podcast to process the grief of my father passing, and now it's turning into like something that one I never saw coming. It's turning into a platform that is allowing me as a Gen Z African-American woman to have a voice and allow my friends and peers and other marginalized and minorities to have a place to speak. So I am so fortunate that this has happened. I did like the Spotify rewind and I was able to see all my analytics and I was able to see just how much of an impact I have been making. So from the bottom of my heart, I really did want to say thank you. This year hasn't been easy for me. And as we get into this episode, I will definitely like dive more into why, but I want to say thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting. And like, if you took the time to even take like to just listen for even like 20 minutes, like thank you. And I'm so excited to see what we can do going into 2021 in regarding to this podcast and where, who I can bring on, where we can go, all the things I can learn, how I can even expand it, because you know, this is something I'm so passionate about and so thankful to have. So that has been like my week. Prior to that, I ended up in the hospital for 2 weeks and the great state of Tennessee, which is now the epicenter for coronavirus. Is that ironic? No. If you knew Tennessee like I do, you would know that is not ironic to me. But that experience was a little scary as well, because I'm not gonna dive into that situation in this episode, just because it involves a lot of people and I'm not one to put people on blast and, you know, to like drag people. But I do have to say that like that experience definitely showed me like how going into the new year I want to go in regarding to setting very firm boundaries, and regarding to just like not necessarily the people that I bring with me, because I think people you know, sometimes you don't understand especially when it comes to grief and mental health and like support, how to do it, and they overstep their boundaries in regarding to that. And I think it's really important for me as myself, as Hannah E, to very much establish like these are my boundaries. And I'm really going to state that in this podcast episode, what kind of I'm setting up in regarding to my space, my peace, what I need to do, because I frankly feel like this year we have all kind of gone through collective grief, and we have all been processing coronavirus, we have all been processing our own lives, we've all been processing just like a lot of death. And I mean, I am so fortunate that I have been able to be in therapy through my university since 2018. So I guess we can kind of get in to this week's topic and film. So we're going to talk about grief and boundaries. So if this is triggering to you, by all means, like, pause it here, come back in the new year and listen whenever you feel comfortable, because I don't want this to be a triggering thing, but this is also allowing me to like just be open and honest. And honestly too, like, I feel like I'm in a place where I can even process my dad's grief, because I have made peace with it, and it has definitely had its ups and downs this month, but I kind of knew that would happen just because of the fact that I've graduated, I'm moving out, I'm doing a lot of big things. And, you know, I wish I could tell him these things and he could see these things. And even though when he was here, some portion of our lives, we weren't on the right, you know, frequency, the last 2 years we were, you know, making steady growth. So I want to kind of like put that out there, that this is not me saying like, as Hannah E, you should do this. Like, this is me giving you my experience with grief and boundaries. So let's get into it. So as I stated, my dad's death was not the first runaround I had with grief. So I actually had I had a fifth grade teacher who passed in 2017, and that was kind of like the first time I dealt with it. But to me, it was sad. Like, it was sad because I'd seen her, you know, like my whole life growing up. She knew about my college experience, but it wasn't as immediate to me as when in spring of 2018, I had a really close friend who I actually worked with. I got to know, we literally like partied together. We like literally, like, this person assisted me with like rush for my business fraternity. Like, we were very, like, we were friends, you know what I mean? And he unfortunately passed due to heart conditions at a boxing event at my university. I think if you were to Google it, you could probably find it out. You could probably find out who I'm talking about. But for this podcast, I'm not going to disclose names just because I'm telling a story. So that was kind of when I knew I needed to kind of get help. I knew I needed to go to therapy. So I started therapy, and I was seeing a therapist, and he was, you know, good. I would not say he was bad, but the one thing I will just definitely say about therapy, after a certain amount of time, it is sometimes important to change it up. Because I noticed I had had him from spring 2018 till about fall of 2018 or spring of 2019, due to the fact that, like, there was just an off, you know, like I'd grown, I'd learned, I'd taken his tips and advice in our sessions and applied them into my life. So we were processing not just like that, like we really weren't processing a whole, we were processing the grief, but we're also processing like some trauma, some like other issues, I think, that had taken place in college until last fall of 2019, I got back from Spain. I believe that like you're supposed to meet a person when you do, and you know, I'm not about fate, but I also truly do feel like the world is small. I've met so many people who know other people, and like I don't know if it's just because I'm a connector or if it's like genuinely the earth is actually smaller than we actually think, like these like what, like 7.7 billion or trillion people or something on earth, and like I've met people in Spain who've known people in other places. So like I definitely truly believe that, you know, like you're sometimes supposed to meet the people that you are. So that happened. I met my therapist, Nick, and Nick just genuinely just changed my life. Like, and I don't know if you'll ever listen to this episode because we finished our therapy session actually last Friday for the year. Not last Friday, but the Friday before we finished it. And I am like forever thankful because he really broke me free, like free of like my childhood trauma, free of my grief, you know, like my guilt of the guilt grief. Also, even this year, he was preparing me for post-grad life. And I am thankful that we crossed paths because grief is not easy. Grief is very, very hard. It is very tense at times. And especially last year, it was so hard because I'm someone, I do not ask for help. Quite frankly, like I, you know, my love language, it's quality times, words of affirmation, acts of service, physical touch, and then get like receiving gifts. And the reason why it's acts of service is because I'm not going to ask you, but I would love you to assist me. I would like, and I know someone loves me and appreciates me and cares about me and like my life when we make the time to see me, when they make the time to hear me, when they like not even necessarily give me compliments, but they like literally say to me like, you did that, like you are Hannah E, and like you are the baddest, da, 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 da. So for me, that's important in a relationship, platonic or romantic. But with grief, I think the first thing I want to emphasize is like when my father passed, I was not here. I was at university, and I can actually tell you guys like how the day went. I woke up, went to class, did my thing, and my mom called me on August 26, 2019 at 3 p.m. And she told me, she said, are you free? And I said, no, I'm about to go to a meeting. And she was like, okay, well, call me back when you're in your apartment. And I was like, I hung up the phone, I walked, and I was like, she's gonna tell me my father's passed. But like, it was literally not like a ha ha ha. It was like, oh, she's just gonna say like, you know, like he's like, you know, I think mentally I had prepared myself because he had been sick for a little bit. And then it was like, I did my meetings, I went home, I got dinner, ate food, and then I went home, and it was like 8:30, 9 o'clock. I was about to leave again, and she was like, okay, well, she was like, are you home? And I was like, yes. And then she literally told me on the phone that my father had passed, and it was the most, like, I cried. I literally started hypoventilating, and she had to call my best friend, Micah, and I basically had to stay with her. And then we began the process of going through this whole just getting the paperwork, filing things with Tina students, literally emailing professors, literally just getting myself ready to go back home for Labor Day weekend to figure this out. And I'm forever thankful for the mentor I had at the time who assisted me, who guided me through this process, because it was hard. Because I want to even say to you guys, it wasn't just my dad who died. It was my father. It was my friend's grandmother. And then I had a friend who was a student at the University of Tennessee who also passed away December 6th of 2019 last year. And I really, really want to emphasize that I have a poker face. I am so good at hiding things that, like, I am pretty sure, like, no one knew any of this. And especially, like, I'm a social media person, so I can play a really great story. But that isn't to say that I don't have my struggles. And I think, you know, I'm very open. If you ask me, right, like, how are you doing? I might say, like, I'm stressed as hell, or, like, this is what happened. And I think when people would talk to me, like, I would be very open, like, my father passed away. And, like, for me, like, I get, like, some people aren't that open up front, but, like, I think it's my personality. And also, I have a podcast. So, like, I mean, anyone can hear this. But I always feel like, why wouldn't I tell you my story? Because maybe it could help you. You know what I mean? Maybe it could help you, like, figure out yourself, redefine yourself. I don't know. Just quirky things. So last year, I really focused on getting my mental health prepared for this year, because I knew that the first year of a death is kind of like the year that really hits the most. So my family, I'll kind of give you guys a rough play of, like, 2020. I started off the year in Knoxville. I was doing my internship with Discovery Inc. and I was doing classes, and then coronavirus came and I decided to, well, I didn't decide. I moved back home, and I've been back in Georgia for the last 10 months, literally since Rona hit. I've been here in my little hometown, and it's been nice. Like, it's really been nice being back in a state that appreciates your location. Also, too, like, people can drive, and people aren't mean, and people also aren't, like, low-key problematic. But it was honestly, like, at first it was very hard, because I had worked on so many things going into the new year, especially with Discovery. I was like, I'm gonna stay with them, like, I'm gonna work in the spring and the summer, and then maybe it'll turn into a full-time job. I was very focused on having a full-time job. But with grief, I really feel like the year started off pretty well up until the summertime, when then I had to kind of figure out what I was doing. And this is where we get into boundaries. As many of you are aware, in the summer we dealt with a lot in regarding to Black Lives Matter, George Floyd, all of that stuff. And I really set my boundaries in regarding to, I deleted Instagram, and I very much kept myself very reserved because I was protecting my energy. I mean, I definitely love to advocate for my community, but, like, at that time I was like, y'all can do this. Y'all can do your research. This is your time to shine. Google search. I am not a Googler. I am not a Google search. And quite frankly, I am not a Black search. So I really reserved my time and my space, and I didn't really talk to a lot of people. And I really just focused on, like, kind of reinventing my podcast and, like, figuring out where I wanted to go with it, and just, like, really being honest about, like, what, you know, and also taking a break. Like, I'd been doing episodes, not on a consistent week plan, but I'd been doing episodes spring semester pretty much frequently, and I just kind of wanted to, like, take a break and, like, breathe. So the summer, that was my time. I did summer classes. I did two to ensure I'd graduate in the fall, and then I came back. And yeah, and I feel like the semester was decent. You know, I think, like, it wasn't bad. At the start, it was a little rough because John Lewis and Chadwick Boseman both died And Chadwick actually died around the same time my dad did, and I noticed that, like, that kind of shook up my family, and not necessarily, like, my intimate family, but I had, like, a family member, like, reach out and stuff to see if we were okay, and we were fine. So what else happened? So then we can kind of go into, like, how grief played for me with coronavirus. For me, it has been I've gotten very angry, not because I can't do what I want to do, but because people aren't understanding what grief is like from the perspective of people who've lost someone. And I think people don't understand it because they've never gone through it, and they won't until they do. And my heart and my love goes out to all the people who've lost a mother, a father, a sister, brother, aunt, uncle, friend, whoever it is, to this virus, because I know so many people who have lost someone to death this year, and especially to coronavirus, and it truly breaks my heart seeing people on social media, not mine, okay, but on, like, Snapchat, or people who are genuinely buying tickets to go to New Year's Eve parties, knowing that we are already in a holiday surge and New Year's Eve is not the time to do it. You know, even me, right? Like, even if I was to move into my apartment on Thursday, I would not have a party because I am a responsible person. I also care about my neighbor. I care about others. Like, that's why I wear my mask. That's why I got tested twice in Knoxville. You know, like, and it's just like, it really just breaks my heart that so many people this year had to go through, you know, an experience of death, and not even some might possibly have the experience of even saying goodbye to their loved ones. So my condolences to you. And now we're going to have a message from our sponsor. Super cool that I have a sponsor through Anchor now. But back to the story. I would say for me, grief really didn't hit until this month, due to the fact that I went through a lot of processing and I had, like, a mental breakdown this time last year due to the fact that I wasn't taking care of my basic needs, because I was, like, I like to describe it as the episode, like, Hannah E. Pirates of the Caribbean Captain Edition. Like, I'm the captain of the ship, but there are no pirates. It's, like, me, my friends, my family. Like, it's really the people who are in my life, or the people I'm supporting, the people who are relying on me. And we're on a ship, and I am captain, and I feel like this whole year I was really just trying to keep us afloat. And I said this in my YouTube video. It was, like, literally December was the scene in World's End of Pirates of the Caribbean where they have to literally, like, take a leap of faith and, like, fall over the earth to get to Jack Sparrow and, like, Davy Jones' walker. And it felt like that, because I literally fell into a whole complete he said she said situation that ended up putting me in the hospital. And quite frankly, I just got a text message asking about this medical bill that is ridiculous that I even have to figure out how to pay. Like, and I'm not even mad at them, I'm mad at the person, and I don't think they will listen to this, and if they do, I would love them to, because quite frankly, it was not necessary. The people involved in that situation can truly believe that they supported, they helped, but quite frankly, like, think about it in this sense, who is in charge of the medical bill? Me. Because who was the one in the hospital? Me. This is how so many people get into shit ton of medical debt. Yes, you heard me. I cursed. Okay, you heard me. This is not a PG-friendly podcast. And this is how people get into debt. This is why we are literally going through a global pandemic in the US. And this is what is so frustrating to me. We are living through three different lifestyles. People who were not affected, who are living their day-to-day lives. People who legitimately are trying to figure out how they can, like, sustain what they have and not end up, like, some people who are truly just literally figuring out, how am I going to feed myself? How am I going to pay my rent? How am I not going to get evicted? How am I not going to be in the streets? And so many eviction, like, restrictions are about to end, and people are about to be on the streets in the new year. And it just breaks my heart, because in Spain, they don't do this stuff. Like, in Barcelona, when I got sick, I could literally go to the doctor, go to the farmacita, the pharmacy. I could go to the doctor, literally tell them my symptoms, and then go to the farmaceuta and literally get the medicine that I needed. And don't come for my Spanish if I had missed out, but it's just, like, so frustrating. It shouldn't have taken 300,000 Americans to die for, like, us to recognize our system was flawed. And, like, that is why I really wanted to make this episode, is because next year is going to be, for some people, the hardest year, grief-wise, mentally-wise, because think about it, too. Some people didn't get to have funerals. Some people didn't get to say goodbye. Some people literally just, like, passed away in a hospital bed. And honestly, being in a hospital bed all by yourself is the most scariest thing. I would know. So I want to say to anyone who is processing grief, who has gone through grief, who is participating, we are all participating in this collective grief, I want you to be so proud of yourself for even making it to the end of this year. Like, this was not an easy year. This was a year that, like, could have really pushed so many people over the edge. And I'm so proud of you for making it. I'm so proud of you for being here. And I'm so proud of you for even, you have literally, today's Tuesday, Friday is a new year. You were literally, you did it. You literally did it. So please take a moment, breathe, take it all in, and be so freaking proud of yourself. You did that, okay? You as an individual did it, and you are going to do so many great things in the new year. So don't even second guess yourself. Don't even question yourself, because you are that hottie, as Megan Thee Stallion would say. So just remember that. But now I'm going to get into the movie of the week, which was Soul. And the reason I chose this movie was because I watched it on Christmas, and it has Jamie Foxx. It is basically a film. I would describe it as a film that focuses on a man who is Jamie Foxx's character, who loves jazz, literally, like, loves the piano. He's like, this is my purpose, this is my calling. And then one day his soul ends up in the, well, actually he falls into a hole, and his soul ends up at the, like, basically, like, the great beyond, which is basically, like, the ending life path. But then he ends up going to the great life, which is the scene where, like, life is born, where life souls go into the earth to a human body. And then this movie is, like, near and dear to my heart, because I feel like it really talks a lot about grief and life and death and purpose and, you know, finding what is, you know, your thing, and lost souls. And it literally, I watched it in the last 30 minutes, made me cry. And I thought this would be a beautiful film to tie, because, and I'm really glad Disney did post it on Christmas, because I felt like it was something that we needed, you know, and this was a movie that we needed to have at this time, and to even understand, like, life is so short. Like, life can be, like, life is long when you aren't worrying about the little things, when you just take those risks, when you go on those dates, when you take those photos with John Ossoff and his family, like, you know, little flex. When you go to those events, you know, where they're speaking, like, when you get involved with a campaign, when you literally take life day by day by day. I used to be someone who was so, like, boo, but, like, I was so type A. Like, I had to plan everything to the T every week. And my calendar used to be so cluttered, and people would be like, oh my God, you have so much to do. And I was like, yeah, like, I'm a very busy person. Now that I've graduated, I literally, like, at 10 o'clock at night, sometimes, like, 11, I literally will write, like, the bare
minimum of what I'm doing, because I always want to give myself room to like be able to do whatever I need to do. You know, I don't want to be like, oh, I have to be here and here and here. Like even voting yesterday, I was supposed to go at 8:45. I didn't leave till 9:30, but I wasn't mad at myself because I took my time. And I think that's what's been so nice about 2020 is like we've all kind of had to pause and take our time and figure out like what is it that brings us joy, what is it that makes us happy. And you know, I think for me, my purpose is to do something with this and also potentially get onto public service, maybe. But what's good, what's good, Cece Abrams, if you're listening. I'm just kidding. I'm not. If she was listening to this, I would actually cry. But she actually, like, I actually wanted to put this in, like, she kind of low-key gave me my purpose, because I watched her film for voting rights, and literally I was hooked, not even to her, but just like, I was like, this is my thing, you know? So I definitely think like it's just really important to figure out what makes you happy. You know, like for me, like I always knew that creating and connecting and helping people like made me happy, and I'm so thankful that now I've graduated, I've moved back to a state that I love, and you know, I've gotten to meet so many incredible friends, and I even went on a date yesterday, which was like crazy but fun. And you know, I am so incredibly excited for everything that is to come in the next couple of days, this week, you know, these episodes. And I'm excited for 2021, because I think going to the hospital this month, I ended up in one that allowed me to have interactions with people. And I'm not gonna say what it was, because maybe you can guess it, I don't know. But wasn't a bad place. And then during this time, I actually learned a lot of boundaries, like a lot of schools regarding to boundaries. And I want to pass on some things with you guys in regarding to boundaries. It is okay to preserve your peace. It is okay to not answer people. You can literally just tell people, hey, at this moment, I'm going through something, or I'm doing something, like I cannot communicate. Can you get back to me within the next 2 to 3 weeks? And I think that is completely fine. If someone gives you a hard time, that's not your problem. That's their problem. And you've stated your boundaries. So if they do try and like, you know, like overstep it, you can say, hey, as a friend, as a person, like I told you this and you didn't listen, so I'm gonna need to put space between us. And I think that's more of what I wanna do, because I don't like to block people. I will unfollow people, but I don't like to block them, because it's like, why do I need to block you? Like, if you wanted to find my stuff, you would, you know? So that's why I think it's important to like give upfront notice, instead of just like kind of being like, peace out. And then the second thing I would say in regarding to boundaries, it's like, it's okay to cut off toxic ass people. And this can be blood, like friends and family. Like, you don't have to keep toxic people who make you feel bad and like make you feel like you are some, not even like, not loser, but like just make you feel like some type of way. You know what I mean? So yeah, cut them off, especially in 2021. You don't need them. Like, I promise you, when you cut off friends, like new people will come in your life, trust me. The third thing I said with boundaries when it comes to social media, like I think it's really important to not share everything. And here's why I say this: people will be nosy. Okay, it's inevitable, we're humans, you know. But I think some things can remain private, like they don't need to be shared online all the time. Even though we live in a very digital world, like it's not sometimes necessary. So yeah, figuring out like how much you want to share is up to you. I know for me, like I'm a social media person, so it's important for me to like post stuff. So figure out your privacy or boundary, like security level. And then the last thing I want to say about boundaries is they're set to you. Like, once you know your boundaries, you can literally know your values, your character, and like those, like, to me, the most important things is like your values, your character, and your boundaries. And the reason why I say this is because people are mean. People will try and walk all over you. People will try and state like they know you, and you need to be able to be like, no, like, this is who I am, you know, like, this is who I am. If you don't like it, then that's your prerogative. If you do like it, cool, but I'm not changing who I am for you. And I think that is what's important, is like, you are you, and you only are on this earth for such a limited time, whether it be, you know, till 30 or till, you know, 80 or 90. So like, just always remember, like, you've got this, and that it's okay to set a boundary. Like, you don't have to put up with someone's bullshit, especially if it's hurting your mental health. And I think it's important to know that, like, you don't have to put up with that. So yeah, I want to know, do you guys have any I'm sorry, y'all. It has been a very long day, and I think I am slowly falling asleep. So we are going to wrap up the pod now. Thank you so much for listening. As always, you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, at Hannah from Atlanta, or Hannah ATL. And then this podcast now has social media. It's Twitter on yours truly, actually, Hannah E Podcast. And then on Instagram, it's yours truly, Hannah E. So give it some love, give it some support. I cannot wait to see the incredible things you guys do. And just always know that, like, grief is like a rubber band. So even if you are in your good places, never forget the skills and techniques that you've learned through yourself and regarding to process it, because it isn't easy, but it does get easy as time passes. So yeah, I'm gonna go so I don't fall asleep on the mic, because that'd be so embarrassing. But I love you guys so much, and I will see you guys, honestly, probably within the next, well, I won't see you guys, you'll hear me tomorrow. And then yeah, okay, love you guys so much, and always remember, you're Heidi, you're a hottie, and you did that shit. Okay, bye.